Hello, I'm very glad that today we have this opportunity to be together and look at the Bible.
Halo, abdi senang pisan dinten ieu urang geus kesempatan kanggo kempel sasarengan dina diajar Alkitab.
The Bible is the Word of God.
Alkitab teh panganih ka Gusti.
In fact, it comes from two Greek words.
Baktana ieu kawitna tina dua kalimah Yunani.
Ta Biblia, meaning the books.
Ta Biblia hartosna kitab-kitab.
This is an expression, a word that was used by the early Christians.
Kita hiji ungkapan hiji kalimah anu digunakeun jalmi Kristen ngawitan.
From about 150 after Christ.
Di tahun 150 santos Yesus Kristus.
They called this book the books, ta Biblia.
Aranjeuna nyebat kitab ieu kitab-kitab tabia.
There are two parts in it.
Aya dua bagian ti lebetna.
The Old Testament and the New Testament.
Perjanjian lami sareng perjanjian baru.
In the Old Testament there are 39 books.
Dina perjanjian lawas aya 39 kitab.
In the New Testament there are 27 books.
Perjanjian Enggal aya 27 kitab.
So the Bible is a book of books.
Alkitab teh hiji kitab anu aya dina kitab-kitab.
One book which contains 66 books.
Hiji kitab isina 66 kitab.
Now a Christian might ask this kind of question.
Ayeuna urang Kristen mungkin ngajukeun pertarosan.
I've got a New Testament.
Abdi gaduh perjanjian enggal.
Why should I read an Old Testament?
Kunaon abdi kedah maca perjanjian lami?
Well, if you have your Bible, open it at Matthew chapter 1 verse 1.
Mangga upami sadere gaduh Bible buku Matius 1 ayat 1.
And you'll see exactly why.
Sadere ningali ieu tepat kenaan.
Look at the first verse in the New Testament.
Tingali ayat ngawitan ti perjanjian Enggal.
This is what it says.
Dijarioskeun.
The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham.
Daftar karuhun-karuhun Yesus Kristus turunan Daud, ari Daud turunan Ibrahim.
Now, who is David?
Ayeuna saha Daud?
Who is Abraham?
Saha Ibrahim?
The New Testament is telling us that Jesus Christ is the son of David and the son of Abraham.
Perjanjian Enggal masih hanterang ka urang, yen Yesus Kristus teh putra Daud sareng putra Abraham.
But if we want to know who these men are,
upami saderek hoyong terang saha jalmi-jalmi ieu,
we need to look at the Old Testament.
Urang tingali tina perjanjian lawas.
David, we find him in 1st and 2nd Samuel.
Daud urang mendakan ti hiji sareng 2 Samuel.
And Abraham, we need to go back to the book of Genesis, the first book in the Old Testament.
Abraham urang balikan deui kana kejadian kitab ngawitan ti perjanjian lama.
Let me quote a verse from Matthew.
Abdi niron ti Matius pasal 2.
Look at Matthew chapter 2.
Tingali Matius pasal 2.
Verse 6.
Ayat anu kagenep.
Let's start at verse 5.
Urang ngawitan ti ayat 5.
They said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet.
Jawabna di Bethlehem daerah Yudea, margi parantos tinulis kieu dinu para nabi.
But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.
Di tanah Yudea, di antara rengrengan nu marentah nagara teh lain nu pangleutikna, sabab dimaranehna pisan anu baris rawuh hiji pamimpin anu bakal ngaraksa umat kami Israel.
Now what's he talking about?
Naon kudah dicarioskeun?
To find the meaning of it, we have to go back to the Old Testament.
Kamu mendakan artosna kada balik deui kana perjanjian lawas.
To the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2.
Kitab Mika, pasal 5, ayat 2.
A verse written about 700 years before Jesus was born.
Hiji ayat anu disarat kinten-kinten 700 tahun sateu acana Yesus lahir.
Prophesied exactly where the Messiah, the Christ, would be born.
Diwayukeun tepat di mana Mesias Kristus bade dilahirkeun.
The New Testament here is referring back to the Old Testament prophet.
Perjanjian Enggal di dieu ngajurus ka nabi perjanjian lawas.
Let's stay in Matthew 2 for a moment.
Tetep di Matius 2 kanggo sabaraha dinten.
Look at verse 15.
Tingali ayat 15.
We read that Jesus with Mary and Joseph were in Egypt until the death of Herod.
Urangaosin Yesus sareng Maria oge Yusuf linggi di Mesir dugi ka pupusna Herodes.
That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I called my son.
Ye kejadian teh geus ngalaksanakeun pangandika pangeran ka nabi ka kami geus ngaur putra kami ti Mesir.
Now what does that mean?
Naon artosna eta?
Again we go back to the Old Testament.
Urang balik deui kana perjanjian lawas.
Hosea chapter 11 verse 1.
Hosea pasal 11 ayat 1.
It's referring, in fact, to the Exodus,
ieu ngajurus ka bukti tina budaran,
which was when the Israelites left Egypt and were freed by God.
Waktu jalmi-jalmi Israel ngantunkeun Mesir sareng dibebaskeun ku Allah.
And bearing the promises of God, they crossed the Sinai Desert into the land of Canaan.
Sareng nyanak janji-janji Allah ka aranjeuna muntas padang gurung Sinai nuju tanah Kanaan.
And when Jesus came out of Egypt, crossed the same Sinai Desert and came into the land of Israel.
Waktu Yesus kaluar ti Mesir muntas gurun keusik Sinai anu sami dugi ka tanah Israel.
The Holy Family was enacting on a small scale the event of the Exodus.
Keluarga suci nuju merankeun tina ukuran alit peristiwa budalan.
What the writer Matthew is telling us in the New Testament.
Naon anu ku Matius dipasihan terang ka urang tina perjanjian enggal.
Is that God called his people Israel out of Egypt at the time of the Exodus?
Gusti nuju nyaur umatna Israel kaluar ti Mesir dina budalan.
And that the whole of their salvation history was leading forward to the coming of Christ.
Ayeuna sadaya sejarah kasalamatan aranjeuna nuju dipingpin nuju kana kadatangan Kristus.
And that is represented by Christ himself reenacting as a tiny baby the event of the Exodus.
Ye diwakilan ku Kristus nyalira merankeun deui janten orok alit tina kajadian budalan.
So the whole of God's redemptive plan and purposes in Israel was now in that little baby.
Janten sadaya rencana penebusan Allah sareng tujuan-tujuan bangsa Israel ayeuna aya di orok alit.
Let's stay in Matthew chapter 2.
Urang tetep di Matius pasal 2.
Look at verse 18.
Tingali ayat 18.
Again, if we start from verse 17.
Urang ngawitan ti ayat 17.
We find that King Herod, trying to kill Jesus, had killed the babies of Bethlehem.
Urang terang yen Raja Herodes, tina usahana maehan Yesus parantos maehan orok-orok di Bethlehem.
Verse 17.
Ayat 17.
Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying,
Nyarita tina kananana pilahir nabi Yeremia anu kieu teh.
A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because they are no more.
Di Ramah sing karoceak, midangdam aluk-alukan, Rahel yang jerikan anakna tebenang dipapalerkeun, tapi ku anakna kabe geus teu aya di kieuna.
This is a reference to, again, to the Old Testament.
Ieu teh hiji petunjuk kanggo perjanjian lama.
Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 15.
Jeremia pasal 31 ayat 15.
So you can see that reading through the New Testament, it refers back to the Old Testament.
Janten saderek ningali yen aosan ngalangkungan perjanjian enggal, ieu nunjukkeun kana perjanjian lami.
We cannot even begin in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 1 and 2 without referring back to the Old Testament.
Urang teu tiasa ngawitan perjanjian enggal ti Matius pasal 1 sareng 2 nunjukeun kana perjanjian lawas.
When Jesus was in the desert being tempted by Satan.
Waktu Yesus aya di Tegal kikisik didoja ku setan.
Three times Jesus said,
Tilu kali Yesus nyarios,
It is written.
Aya diserat.
What did he mean? It is written.
Naon dimaksud aya diserat?
He meant it is written in the Word of God.
Dimaksud ku anjeunna teh nyaeta panganika Gusti.
And each time he quoted the Old Testament.
Unggal-unggal ge anjeunna niron tinu perjanjian lami.
Jesus Christ regarded the Old Testament as the Word of God.
Yesus Kristus nunjuk perjanjian lami selaku panganika Allah.
So how should any Christian regard it?
Janten kumaha sakadana orang Kristen nunjuk itu?
Jesus Christ regarded it as having authority.
Yesus Kristus nunjuk ka pangandika Allah ngagaduhan kakiatan.
So should not a Christian do the same?
Takuduna mah orang Kristen oge ngalakukeun sami.
If in the New Testament you go past the Gospels,
pamikina perjanjian Enggal sarek ngalangkungan Injil-Injil,
and you go on into the letters of Paul.
Rasabat ka serat-serat Paulus.
If you have read Romans or Galatians.
Wa misa derek tos ngaos Roma sareng Galatia.
Very often the apostle Paul talks about the law.
Sering pisan Rasul Paulus nyarios ngeunaan hukum Taurat.
What does he mean? The law. What is this law?
Naon nu dimaksud hukum Taurat? Naon hukum ieu?
He means the law of the Old Testament.
Yang dimaksud hukum perjanjian lama.
The law of Moses.
Hukum Musa.
Which you find in Exodus and Deuteronomy.
Dalam kitab Udalan sareng Pamindo.
Now again, if you continue in the New Testament to the book of Hebrews.
Wami diteraskeun tina perjanjian Enggal tina Ibrani.
It is absolutely impossible to understand that book without reading also the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament.
Moal ngartos upami urang henteu ngaos kitab Imamat.
The book of Hebrews talks about the Old Covenant and the New Covenant.
Kitab Ibrani nyarioskeun perjanjian lawas sareng perjanjian enggal.
Well, what is this Old Covenant?
Naon perjanjian lawas teh?
It's the Old Testament.
Iya, perjanjian lawas.
Again, if you go to the very end of the New Testament.
Pamungkas tina perjanjian Enggal.
In the book of Revelation.
Kitab Wahyu.
You will find it full of word pictures.
Baris mandakan pinuku gambaran kalimah.
From the book of Daniel.
Kitab Daniel.
From the book of Ezekiel.
Kitab Yehezkiel.
And from the book of Isaiah.
Kitab Yesaya.
All of these, of course, are in the Old Testament.
Yaitu ayat di perjanjian lawas.
Now, the term, the Old Testament,
istilah perjanjian lami,
is a Christian description,
urayan Kristen,
of the books given by God,
ngenaan kitab-kitab nu dipasihkeun ku Allah,
to the Jewish people,
ka jalmi-jalmi Yahudi.
And which are related to the Old Covenant.
Anu aya hubunganna kana perjanjian lami.
Which God gave to Israel through Moses at Mount Sinai.
Wala dipasihkeun ka Israel ngalangkungan Musa di Gunung Sinai.
The word covenant is a word we're going to come to later.
Kalimah perjanjian mah engke dibahasna di pengker.
But it means a special agreement which ties people together.
Mung ieu teh ngandung hartos perjanjian istimewa nu meungkeut jalmi-jalmi sasarengan.
And in the Old Covenant, God tied himself with the people of Israel.
Dina perjanjian lami Gusti meungkeutkeun salirana sareng bangsa Israel.
And that covenant did achieve certain things.
Perjanjian teh ngahontal perkawis-perkawis anu tangtu.
But it was part of a process leading forward to the new covenant.
Yan eta mah bagian tina proses anu mimpin ka perjanjian enggal.
In which Jesus Christ became the middleman, the mediator between God and us.
Yesus teh panengah, perantara antara Allah sareng urang.
And to understand both Old Testament and New Testament.
Padahal ngartos perjanjian lami sareng perjanjian enggal.
We need to understand the relationship between these two covenants.
Urang kedah ngartos hubungan ti duanana.
Now a few moments ago I quoted references from the Old Testament that are in the New Testament.
Tadi sababaraha menit abdi niron keterangan-keterangan perjanjian lami nu aya di perjanjian enggal.
The New Testament contains at least 295 separate references to the Old Testament.
Perjanjian Engal isina 285 keterangan anu papisah ti perjanjian lami.
224 times it is introduced by a formula of words such as it is written or God says.
224 ku kalima ayat kasrat atanapi pangandika Gusti.
And this refers to at least 278 verses from the Old Testament.
Ia menuju ke 278 ayat di Perjanjian Lami.
In referring to these verses,
dina nunjuk ayat-ayat ieu,
at least 56 times,
kirang langkung 56 kali,
the writers in the New Testament refer to God as the author of those Old Testament verses.
Juru tulis perjanjian Engal nunjuk Gusti selaku pengarang ayat-ayat perjanjian lami.
Now, there are 41 occasions.
Aya 41 kejadian-kejadian.
When in the New Testament,
dina perjanjian Engal,
it says this,
carioskeun kieu,
quoting the Old Testament,
ngiraun perjanjian lami,
God says.
Allah ngandika.
Not God said.
Tanes Allah parantos ngandika.
But God says.
Nanging Allah ngandika.
In other words, the New Testament writer did not regard it as something which was finished completely.
Ditulis perjanjian Engal teu nunjuk perkawis eta teh tos beres pisan.
Not just that it just was the word of God then, but it is the word of God now.
Tanes mung pangandika Allah kapungkur nanging ieu teh pangandika Allah nu ayeuna.
And that's very important for any Christian.
Ieu penting pisan kanggo urang Kristen di mana bae.
Now, if you actually start reading the Old Testament,
pamisa derek parantos ngaos perjanjian lami,
you'll find there's a lot of history in it.
Derek pasti mendakan sajarah di lebetna.
Now, why so much history?
Kunaon sieur sajarah?
Now, I believe theology is important.
Teologi penting, saur Sim Abdi.
I believe we need it.
Kurang priyogi eta.
But it's interesting that in the Bible, you will nowhere find a philosophical treatment of the nature of God.
Mung teu aya laporan filsafat ngenaan sifat Allah.
Instead, you find history, whole books of it.
Gentosna sejarah, sadaya kitab teh sejarah.
Why?
Naha?
For several reasons.
Kumargi sababaraha alasan.
First, God does not offer himself to us just as an object of philosophical ideas.
Kaiji Allah henteu nawiskeun salirana ka urang selaku ide-ide filosofi.
He comes to us.
Anjeuna sumping ka urang.
He demands a response from us.
Anjeuna nuntut tindakan kurang.
And the histories of the Old Testament,
sareng sajarah-sajarah perjanjian lami,
are examples of how God has helped people.
Contoh kumaha Gusti nulungan jalmi-jalmi.
It's an endless display.
Eta hiji pameran nu teu aya ahirna.
Of God in action.
Gusti nu ngalaksanak.
Saving.
Nyalamatkeun.
Judging.
Ngahakiman.
Intervening in the lives of people.
Ngiring campur tina kahirupan jalmi-jalmi.
Even determining the destinies of nations.
Ngetepkeun nasib bangsa-bangsa.
Now, let me use a little illustration here.
Abdi gaduh hiji gambaran alit.
When I got married.
Waktu abdi nikah.
Over 27 years ago,
kungsi 27 tahun kapungkur,
I did not get a psychologist's report on my wife.
Abdi henteu nampi laporan psikologi pun bojo.
I did not get a document saying she has this and this and this in her nature.
Daya serat-serat anu nyarioskeun sifatna kitu kieu.
We got married.
Abdi parantos nikah.
And over 27 years we've been together.
Langkung ti 27 tahun abdi sasarengan.
Through times when life has been easy.
Langkung waktu sirup gampil.
and times when life has been difficult.
Ugi dina waktu susah.
And through our experience of living together,
ngalangkungan pangalaman abdi hirup sasarengan,
we have really got to know one another.
Cili kenal.
Now, I think that my experience of that is far more informing than simply a medical document about my wife.
Ayeuna ku abdi di emut, abdi seueur mamaratahan masihan terang tibatan serat dokter.
So what you have in the Old Testament,
naon kagungan saderek ti perjanjian lami,
is not an abstract or even theological document about the nature of God.
Nah, nu katingali sana siji dokumen teologi tabiat Allah.
But you have the interaction of God with a man called Abraham.
Saderek gaduh interaksi Allah sareng Abraham.
You have the interaction of God with a man like Jacob.
Hubungan Allah sareng Yakub.
And another man called Moses.
Sareng Musa.
And a lady like Ruth.
Oge sareng Ruth.
And so we could go on with men and women.
Itu saterasna sareng para pamaget atarang pi istri.
Some of them rich, some of them poor.
Sabara urang anu beunghar oge nu miskin.
Some of them great people, some very ordinary people.
Aya nu hebat, aya nu biasa.
Some were kings and some were farmers.
Aya raja, aya petani.
Sometimes you have how God interrelated with a community.
Rangingali Allah turut campur di hiji lingkungan.
A family.
Keluarga.
A village.
Di desa.
A tribe.
Kaum.
A city.
Hiji kota.
A whole nation.
Kedaya bangsa.
And in this interaction, you see what God is like in many different kinds of situations.
Dina hubungan ieu saderek ningali Allah sapertos naon dina kaayaan anu benten.
You see the mercy of God.
Urang ningali sih pabelas asti.
The love of God.
Kasih Gusti.
You also see the righteousness of God.
Pemeneran Gusti.
And the judgment of God.
Penghakiman Allah.
And from all of these experiences, a living picture is created of God.
Dina pangalaman ieu hiji gambar nu hirup diciptakeun ku Gusti.
One of the great theologians of this century was a man called Karl Barth.
Karl Barth.
He said this: the task of theological reflection and of preaching does not begin at all with abstract ideas, but with the reality of God's action.
Tugas renungan sareng khutbah henteu dikawitan ku ide-ide anu abstrak, tapi tina tindakan Gusti.
Bart describes it like taking a film, a movie film, of a bird flying.
Bart ngajelaskeun ieu sapertos ngadamel hiji film manuk, manuk nu ngapung.
Now, three men take that film.
Pamaget ngadamel film eta.
And you know that a movie film is actually made of little still photographs, one after another, very quickly.
Film dari candak tina foto anu dicandak ganjang pisan.
So you get 24 of these in 1 second.
Dugi kaking 24 gambar tina sadetik.
One man looks at the picture of the bird.
Iji pemegat ningali gambar manuk.
And he says, "Look. The wings are up."
Ningali jangjangna kaluhur saurna.
A bird flies with its wings up.
Iji manuk ngapung ku jangjangna kaluhur.
Another man looks at the picture.
Sanesna ningali kana gambar.
And it's at the end of the wing stroke of the bird.
Ieu akhirna tina manuk ngapakeun jangjangna.
And he says the bird flies with its wings down.
Daurna manuk kiber kujangjangna handap.
No, says the third man, you're both wrong.
Aneh sareng katilu aranjeunna duaan lepat.
He looks at another picture.
Anjeunna ningali gambar sana.
And the bird has its wings out sideways.
Manuk teh ngapakeun jangjangna ka gigir.
He says a bird does not move its wings up or down, they're only sideways.
Saurna hiji manuk ngapakeun jangjangna ka luhur atanapi ka handap aranjeunna ngapakeun kujangjangna ka gigir.
Of course they're all right and they're all wrong.
Sadayana leres, sadayana oge lepat.
If you really want to see how a bird flies,
pamihoyong terang anu saleresna manuk ngapung.
You must look at all of the pictures together as a movie.
Dan ningali sasarengan sadayana gambar dina film.
And you see that the bird is moving its wings up and sideways and down and back again.
Dan rek ningali manuk ngapakeun jangjangna ka luhur ka handap ka gigir kitu sateras.
And that's what you find as you read through the Old Testament.
Ite sami sareng saderek ngaos perjanjian lami.
You see God moving through the lives of hundreds of people.
Saderek ningali Allah gerak ngalangkungan ratusan jalmi.
You see God in many kinds of different situations.
Ge ngalangkungan tina kaayaan nu benten.
And God does not change.
Tinterobi.
But you see that he will do one thing in one situation and another in another.
Jeung baris ngalakukeun hiji perkara tina hiji situasi sareng sanes deui tina kaayaan benten.
You can take verses out of the Bible which show the God of the Old Testament as being always full of judgment.
Sarerek tiasa nunjukeun ayat-ayat ti Alkitab anu nunjukeun yen Allah teh nu ngahakiman.
But you can take others, which show him always as a God of forgiveness and mercy.
Saderek tiasa nunjukkeun ayat-ayat di Alkitab anu nunjukkeun yen Allah teh nu ngapunten sareng welasih.
The truth is in both.
Bebeneran teh aya tina dua hal.
Now there's another reason why history is very important.
Alasan sanesna sajarah teh penting.
Have you ever met a person who had the medical condition of amnesia, of complete forgetfulness?
Nah, saderek kantos tepang sareng jalmi amnesia.
Sometimes a person will be in an accident.
Kadang-kadang mendak kacilakaan.
And they'll get a knock on the head.
Kirana anjeranjeuna katenggeul.
And this person doesn't know who he is.
Jalmi ieu teu kenal kadirina.
He doesn't recognize people.
Teu wau ka jalmi-jalmi.
He's forgotten who are his friends. He does not know where he lives. He does not know his own name. He does not know who his parents were. He has forgotten everything. And that's very sad. It's very tragic. Now, a people together without history are like a man who's lost his memory.
Menjalmi sakelompok jalmi tanpa sejarah sapertos nu kaecalan emutanana.
And if we regard ourselves as New Testament Christians,
urang teh jalmi-jalmi Kristen perjanjian enggal.
We must have the memories of the Old Testament.
Kedaya kenangan ti perjanjian lami.
The New Testament in some ways is already in the Old Testament.
Perjanjian Engal aya di antawis tina perjanjian lami.
Promises of a redeemer who would come.
Janji-janji ti penebus nu bade dongkap.
The forgiveness of sins.
Ngapunten dosa.
The creating of a people for God.
Janten jalmi kanggo Gusti.
So we can say the New Testament is in the Old, but concealed.
Perjanjian Engal ayat tina perjanjian lami mung nyumput.
The Old Testament is in the New Testament revealed.
Perjanjian Engal ayat dina perjanjian lami.
What we are today is a result of what happened yesterday.
Ayana urang hasil tinu kamari.
What we do today will shape tomorrow.
Nu ayana nangtoskeun kanggo enjingna.
So you can see there are reasons why there is history in the Old Testament.
Aya alasan-alasan sejarah ti perjanjian lami.
In fact, the Old Testament includes several different kinds of literature.
Buktina perjanjian lami kalebet jenis literatur nu benten.
We call these kinds or genres of literature.
Disebutna jenis-jenis atanapi aliran-aliran literatur.
History, we've referred to.
Sejarah disebutna.
But also poetry.
Oge puisi.
And wisdom literature?
Literatur hikmat.
And prophecy?
Nubuatan.
And you look through the Bible and you see all these different kinds of writings.
Biasa ditingali ti sadaya Alkitab dina seratan anu benten.
And they're all so different.
Benten pisan.
How can we make sense of them?
Kumaha tiasa ngarto sadayana?
And yet, through all of it, there's a sense of unity.
Nya, sapertos kitu, dina sadayana kasatunggalan.
The Bible does not have uniformity.
Alkitab tesami.
But it does have unity.
Tapi hiji.
Organic unity.
Hiji organik.
If you look at a flower.
Ningal sagagang kembang.
You have leaves.
Aya daunan.
You have a stem.
Aya kekembangan.
And you have the flower with its petals.
Aya kembang sareng daunan.
But it's not three different plants. It's one plant.
Tanestilu tapi hiji tangkal.
It has organic unity.
Jika satuan organik.
But it is diverse. It does not have uniformity.
Yebenten desaragam.
And under the ground there are roots as well.
Yanapna ya akar-akar.
And so it's the same in the Old Testament.
Yesami sareng perjanjian lami.
There is a unity that runs right through it and through the New Testament.
Aya hiji kasinambungan ka perjanjian enggal.
But it's not uniformity.
Yesana saragam.
Now another thing to look at with the Old Testament is the way it uses language.
Kendari tinggal cara ngagunakin bahasa tina perjanjian lami.
We ourselves use language in very different ways at times.
Orang ngagunakin bahasa kadang-kadang benten.
We must be careful in the way we interpret the Bible.
Da hati-hati tina cara nafsirkan Alkitab.
If I make some kind of a statement,
ada maliji pernyataan,
somebody could go outside and repeat that,
orang jalmi tiasa keluar kalebet gitu teras,
and they might say, Christopher said this.
Yauraranjina Christopher ngarius kieu.
But they would take it out of context.
Mung aranjina ngaluarkeunana tina konteks.
They would make me mean something which is not what I really meant to say.
Ranjana baris ngarubi benten sareng anu dimaksad ku abdi.
Words must be looked at in context.
Kalimat teh kedah ditingali tina konteksna.
So, I mean, take the New Testament.
Jadi abdi ngabantun perjanjian enggak.
The devil comes to Jesus and says,
Disungkap ka Yesus terus nyarios.
If you then quote the words of the devil,
pemisah derek niron kalimah-kalimah iblis,
without saying it is the devil who is tempting Christ,
untuk nyariuskan yang iblis ngadoja Kristus,
and say, the Bible says, and then quote from Satan,
sareng nyarius Alkitab nyarius satrasna niron setan,
you've made it mean the very opposite of what it's saying.
Artosna benten sareng anu dicariuskan.
So if you see a verse, you must put it in its context.
Meningali hiji ayat kedah nyimpen tina konteksna.
First, in the chapter.
Hiji tina pasal.
But that's not enough.
Namun ieu teu cukup.
Because in the Old Testament in the book of Job.
Tina perjanjian lami tina kitab Ayub.
Some of the people who were arguing against Job.
Beberapa orang debat ngelawan Ayub.
Made very long speeches.
Ngadamel pidato nu panjang.
Which last for several chapters.
Nyepkeun sabeberapa pasal.
And later God contradicts them.
Alang-alawan ka aranjeunna.
So you've got to look at the chapter in the context of the whole book.
Kana ningal pasal tina konteks hadaya buku.
And that's not enough. You've got to look at the whole book in the context of the historical background. And the historical background in terms of its culture. And then you've got to look at the literary genre or literary type.
Kedari tingali aliran bahasana sareng bahasa naon.
Because in poetry I may make statements which are not scientific.
Dina puisi aya panginten pernyataan-pernyataan nu teu ilmiah.
I may say the sun rises and goes up.
Anu poe bijil terus naik.
There's nothing wrong with saying that.
Lepat nyaris gitu.
But a scientist will tell you that the earth is actually turning around. The sun has not moved.
Engge saurang anu pinter baris nerangkeun yen dunya anu muter sanes panon poe anu gerak.
It depends how we are using language.
Gumantung kana kumaha urang ngagunakeun basa.
And that's what we must look at in the Old Testament.
Nah, anu kedah ditingali tina perjanjian lami.
We must ask two questions when we read the Old Testament.
Kedaya dua patarosan upami urang ngaos perjanjian lami.
First, what did it say to the people when it was written?
Kahiji, naon anu dicarioskeun waktu sarita.
And then secondly, what does it say to us now?
Anu kaduana, naon anu dicarioskeun ku urang ayeuna.
I think it's important in this series of talks on the Old Testament.
Penting kanggo ngabahas ngeunaan perjanjian lami.
To just say a little bit about what we are talking about and what we're not talking about.
Anu dicarioskeun sareng anu henteu.
Some of the aspects of the Old Testament we might deal with in university.
Beberapa kok perjanjian lami tos dibahas di universitas.
In seminary or in Bible college.
Di seminari atau sekolah Alkitab.
Are not going to be included in what I'm saying.
Kekalebet nu ku abdi dicarioskeun.
Now, that does not mean that these questions are not important.
Sanes hartosna patarosan teh henteu penting.
In fact, many of those questions are very important.
Dasalarasna seueur patarosana penting.
But they're not the purpose of this series of talks.
Angin sanes tujuan ti sesi ieu.
Just let me give an example here.
Abdi masihan contoh ti dieu.
In the matter of the authorship of the books, who wrote them?
Dina karangan kitab-kitab sareng anu nyeratna.
In the case of the book of Amos,
in a kasus kitab Amos,
we read in chapter 1, verse 1, about how the book was written.
Rangaos pasal 1 ayat 1 kumaha kitab ieu diserat.
It says this.
Caurkeun kieu.
The words of Amos, who was among the sheep breeders of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake.
Caurna ka Amos, salah saurang ternak domba di Tekoa, ngeunaan Israel ti jaman Usia, raja Yehuda, ti jaman Yerobeam, putra Yoas, raja Israel, 2 tahun satu acana lini.
So, that's fairly easy to date.
Gampil kanggo nangtoskeun kapingna.
It It's during the reign of King Jeroboam the second of Israel.
Ia kajantenan tina pamarentahan Raja Yerobeam kedua ti Israel.
And he reigned from about 793 to 753 before Christ.
Pemerintahanna ti 783 dugi ka 758 satu acana Yesus.
So, we know who wrote the book of Amos and when.
Yang dan orang terang nu nyerat kitab Amos.
But if you look at the book of Psalms,
meningali ka kitab Jabur,
it's much more complicated.
Langkung sesah.
Some of the Psalms were written by David.
Sebabarati Jabur diserat ku Daud.
Others were written by Asaf.
Misanesna diserat ku Asaf.
Others were written by a group of people called the Sons of Korah.
Misanesna deui ku Bani Korah.
And so on and on with other writers.
Sakarasna ku juru tulis-juru tulis misanesna.
Now, at some time, these Psalms were collected.
Iji waktos Jabur-Jabur dikempalkeun.
But they existed separately before they were collected. And first they were brought together into 5 small books.
Teras 5 kitab dikumpulkeun janten 5 kitab alit.
5 books of Psalms.
5 kitab Jabur.
And then these five were brought together into one book.
5 kitab dikumpulkan jantan hiji buku.
Now, if you look at the book of Proverbs, you see the same kind of a thing.
Ayeuna upami ningali kitab Siloka saderek ningal hiji hal nu sami.
Different proverbs were written by different people at different times and then brought together.
Siloka-siloka nu benten diserat ku jalmi nu benten waktos nu benten teras digabungkeun.
Again, if you look in the book of Joshua,
sareng upami saderek ningali kitab Yosua.
In Joshua chapter 10, verses 12 and 13.
Yosua pasal 10 ayat 12 sareng 13.
There's a short poem.
Aya puisi pondok.
And then it says, is not this written in the book of Jasher?
Catrasna cariuskeun sanes ieu teh parantos kasrat tina kitab jalmi jujur.
What's the book of Jasher?
Naon kitab jalmi jujur teh?
I don't know.
Abdi teu terang.
Nobody knows.
Gaya saurang oge nu terang.
It was obviously an early Israelite book of poems.
Jelas pisan kitab ieu eusina puisi-puisi ngawitan bangsa Israel.
We don't have that book today.
Urang teu ngagaduhan kitab nu ayeuna.
Does that mean part of the Bible has been lost?
Nah, ieu ngandung ngartos bagian Alkitab partos eta?
No, it doesn't mean.
Aneh sanes kitu maksudna.
It simply means that when Joshua was written, that book was known.
Secara sederhana, ieu ngandung ngartos sen waktos kitab Yosua diserat kitab ieu dikenal.
And the short poem which we have in Joshua 10,
terang puisi pondok anu dipigadu ku Yosua 10,
was a well-known saying to the Israelites.
Aya paripaos anu dikenal ku urang Israel.
Now there's a parallel to that in the New Testament.
Ayeuna aya anu sami sareng perjanjian enggal.
Several times the Apostle Paul in the New Testament quotes Greek poets.
Beberapa kali Rasul Paulus dina perjanjian enggal niron penyair-penyair Yunani.
Now, does that mean we've lost part of the New Testament?
Nah, ieu teh hartosna urang parantos kaicalan bagian tina perjanjian lami?
No.
Sanes.
Those Greek poets never were in the New Testament.
Penyair-penyair Yunani henteu kantos lebet kana perjanjian enggal.
Paul just quoted from some well-known books of his time.
Paulus mung ngiron tina sabeberapa kitab anu dikenal dina jaman harita.
And that was the case with Joshua and the book of Jasher.
Eta teh sami sareng Yosua oge kitab jalmi jujur.
The Bible was part of a culture.
Kitab bagian tina budayana.
And we expect to hear about the culture they lived in.
Urang harepkeun ngadangu ngeunaan budaya di mana anjeunna hirup.
Now, when we come to the first 5 books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch.
Ayeuna urang lebet kana kalima kitab ngawitan ti Perjanjian Lama, Pentateuch.
There is a lot of discussion about when it was written and who wrote it.
Ceur debat ngeunaan iraha ieu diserat sareng saha nu nyeratna.
These are discussions which we're not going to go into in detail now.
Aya runingan-runingan di mana urang teu tiasa lebet kana detailna ayeuna.
This is not the time and place for that kind of discussion.
Ieu waktosna kang runingan sapertos eta.
Also, in our limited time together,
oge dina waktos nu terbatas,
we will not be able to look at every book in the Old Testament.
Urang teu tiasa ningali ka setiap buku tina Perjanjian Lami.
It's just not possible in the time.
Ieu teu mungkin kumargi soal waktos.
The Old Testament is like a palace with many rooms.
Perjanjian Lami teh lir karaton nu seueur ruangan.
And we don't have time to explore all of the rooms.
Urang teu gaduh waktos kanggo ningalan sadayana ruangan.
But what we can do is get inside the building.
Nu tiasa ku urang dilakukeun nyaeta lebet ka gedong.
And I hope to give you a few keys.
Abdi ngarepkeun masihan ka saderek sababaraha kunci.
And you can use these to unlock the doors and then take your time to explore what's in the room.
Tereng saderek tiasa ngagunakeunana kanggo muka panto-panto saterasna kanggo waktu saderek ningalian naon nu aya di ruangan-ruangan eta.
So, we are not trying to create a deep academic introduction to every book.
Jantan urang teu usaha nyiptakeun hiji penjelasan akademis anu aya tina setiap kitab.
We're just going to get our toes wet.
Urang mengadama ramo sampean basih.
If you want to have a swim, you'll have to do that for yourself later.
Pemirsa derek hoyong ngojay, saderek kada ngalakukeun mana engke di pengker.
Let me say a little bit about the order of the Old Testament books.
Abdi bade nyareoskeun sakedik urutan kitab-kitab perjanjian lami.
The order that we have of the books in the Old Testament,
urutan nu dipigaduku urang tina kitab-kitab perjanjian lami,
is taken from a Latin translation of the Bible called the Latin Vulgate.
Canak tina hiji terjemahan bahasa Latin tina kitab anu disebat Injil Latin.
That in turn followed a Greek translation of the Old Testament.
Seterusnya robi ngiring keterjemahan Yunani ti perjanjian lami.
That Greek translation of the Old Testament, which existed at the time of Jesus,
terjemahan bahasa Yunani perjanjian lami anu aya jaman Yesus,
we call the Septuagint.
Disebutna Septuaginta.
So the Septuagint means the Greek version of the Old Testament.
Septuaginta artosna versi Yunani ti perjanjian lami.
So it was written actually in Hebrew.
Janten ieu teh diserat tina bahasa Ibrani.
And parts in Aramaic.
Sebagian tina bahasa Aram.
And then it was translated into Greek.
Katerasna diterjemahkan kana bahasa Yunani.
And then into Latin.
Katerasna kana bahasa Latin.
And now it's in many, many languages.
Ayeuna kana seueur-seueur bahasa.
But we still have the Hebrew version to go back to.
Nanging urang masih gaduh versi Ibrani kanggo ditingali deui.
Now, let's look at the order of the books as we have them.
Ayeuna urang tingali urutan kitab-kitab nu ayeuna aya.
First comes the Pentateuch.
Ngawitan Pentateuch.
That's means simply five scrolls.
Ya, secara sederhana hartosna lima gulungan.
The five books of Moses.
Lima kitab Musa.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy.
Kejadian, Budalan, Imamat, Bilangan, Pamindo.
Now, the name of each book gives the idea of its theme.
Ayeuna nama setiap kitab masihan pamandangan tema masing-masing.
After the Pentateuch, we have the historical books.
Separantas petate, urang ngingkeun kitab-kitab sejarah.
Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel.
Joshua, Kimakim, Ruth, hiji 2 Samuel.
1st and 2nd Kings.
Hiji sareng 2 raja-raja.
1st and 2nd Chronicles.
Hiji sareng 2 babad.
Ezra,
Isra,
Nehemiah,
Nehemiah,
and Esther.
Sareng Esther.
And all of these give history.
Terayana itu sejarah.
Then follow the prophets.
Terusnya nyusul nabi-nabi.
And we divide these into what we call the major or larger prophets and the minor or smaller prophets.
Urang ngabagina kunaon anu ku urang disebat nabi ageung atawa nabi-nabi anu langkung ageung atawa nabi-nabi alit atawa nabi-nabi nu alit.
Now, the major prophets.
Ayeuna nabi-nabi ageung.
Isaiah.
Yesaya.
Jeremiah.
Yeremia.
The book of Lamentations is at the end of Jeremiah.
Tangis Yeremia teh akhirna tina kitab Yeremia.
Then Ezekiel and Daniel.
Katerasnya Yehezkiel sareng Daniel.
Then, when we Lamentations, by the way, is just added because to Jeremiah, because he wrote it, he's associated with the book.
Tangisan ditambahkan tina Yeremia kumargi anjeuna anu nyeratna, anjeuna ngahubungkeun sareng kitab eta.
Then we have the minor prophets.
Saterasna urang gaduh nabi-nabi alit.
Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi.
Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Yunus, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, sareng Malachi.
And then, in the middle of all of that, we've also got some poetic books.
Di tengah-tengah sadayana eta, urang ngagaduhan sababaraha kitab puisi.
And the poetic books were from many different periods of history.
Kitab puisi kawitna ti seueur periode sejarah anu benten.
So we put those after the historical books and before the prophets.
Janten urang nempatkeun kitab-kitab eta saparantos kitab sejarah sateuacanna kitab nabi-nabi.
So, and in there you have Psalms and Proverbs, the wisdom literature, Job, Ecclesiastes.
Didinya sareng ningali Jabur sareng Siloka literatur hikmah, Ayub sareng Pandita.
So, we have history, poetry, and prophecy.
Urang ngagaduhan sajarah, puisi sareng nubuatan.
Now, the Hebrew arrangement is rather different from that.
Ya, pengaturan Ibrani rada benten tinu eta.
There we have the law, the Torah.
Jadinya orang ngagaduhan hukum sareng Taurat.
prophets, including what are called the former and the latter prophets.
Nabi-nabi kalebet nu diserat, nabi nu langkung tipayun serangan pangpengkerna.
And the writings.
Ayah seratan-seratan.
Now that Hebrew arrangement was the version that was used by Jesus himself.
Ayeuna pangaturan Ibrani teh versi anu digunakeun ku Yesus nyalira.
And we're going to look in our next time together.
Engke urang bade ningalina sanes waktu sasarengan.
At the Old Testament as Jesus used it.
Dina perjanjian lami sapertos digunakeun ku Yesus.
And some of the references in the Gospel of Luke,
jarang sababaraha katerangan tina Injil Lukas,
to how Jesus quoted the Old Testament,
nungku Yesus ditiron tina perjanjian lami,
can only be understood
mung tiasa ngartos
if we know how the Jewish people had the order of the books, slightly different from ours.
Kami urang terang, urang Yahudi ngatur urutan-urutan kitab-kitab sakedik benten ti urang.
The same books.
Kitab-kitab misami.
No extra books.
Gaya kitab-kitab misami.
None of them taken away.
Gaya joge dipisahkan.
But a different order.
Nanging urutanana teu benten.
And Jesus used that order.
Sareng Yesus ngagunakeun eta.
And that's what we're going to look at next time.
Ieu anu bade ditingali engke.
Thank you very much and God bless you.
Hatur nuhun pisan, Gusti ngaberkahan.